time of year. With a game plan, our chance to talk Maine Black Bear football. It's brought to you by ClearPoint Capital. Give Mike Toole a call at 307-7718. And by Creative Print Services on the Dowd Road, Bangor. Full service design, print, marketing, mailing, and billing. My broadcast partner, Bob Lucy, joining me on the telephone line. Robert, how's your Friday going?
My Friday's gone very well, Rich. It's nice to be home for a game.
I know. Although we had, at least until the last 20 minutes or so of that flight, we had a nice time down in Richmond last week.
Indeed. Yes, we did. It's always a nice place to go.
Yeah, good walking down there and good bites to eat, but always good to be back home. Homecoming, always a special time, too. By the way, I've already heard from our friend, former Black Bear lineman, Rob Noble. I assisted him in picking out his choice of cap for homecoming tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Maybe we can include him in the uniform report.
I think that'd probably be a good idea. Well, let's talk about last week with the Black Bears. Wow, what a start to the game it was for that Maine offense last week.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like it, Rich. Maine had 16 plays for 247 yards at the end of the first quarter. By my count, that's 15.4 yards per play, and they were 11 of 11 passing for 226 yards and two touchdowns at the end of the first quarter.
It was crazy, and offensive coordinator Stephen Cooper digging deep into the playbook and executing them very well.
Yeah, execution was outstanding, and we saw what Joe Gillette, Maine's wide receiver, can do when he's healthy, because he ran great routes, he took the top off the Richmond defense, and he was really difficult to handle in traffic. He could go up and get those 50-50 balls. So it was really nice to see him come alive. Montego Moss had a good game as well. He threw the ball for a 24-yard touchdown to Tavian Banks on a flea flicker, and he had six receptions for 72 yards. But you look at what Joe Gillette did in that receiver position, eight receptions for 169 yards and three touchdowns. He was outstanding. Braden Heald also had some big plays, two receptions for 77 yards. So all in all, you know, I think Derek Robertson was distributing that ball like he did in that first half or so against Stony Brook, and he was razor sharp, particularly in that first quarter.
And Richmond got some offense going of their own. They had a little flea flicker for a score and then came through on some big plays. You give Maine credit, though. They hung in even when Derek Robertson came out of the game with an injury. Anthony Harris came in and acquitted himself quite well.
Yeah, I thought he played very well. He was 8 of 11 passing for 71 yards, had a touchdown throwing, and he was very agile in the pocket. You know, he was moving around, but he kept his eyes downfield and put some balls into tight windows, particularly that touchdown pass to Joe Gillette in the corner of the end zone. So I thought he did well. You know, Maine just didn't get that ground game going, and I think that, in and of itself, was a real barrier to their success for four quarters, because they only had 18 rushes for 11 yards in the game. And, Rich, after the first quarter, they had five rushes for 21 yards. And over those last three quarters, they had 13 rushes for negative 10 yards, wound up with 11 yards rushing. So they just didn't quite have the offensive balance, I think, that it took to get to the finish line in that one. And credit Richmond. They were very physical up front in that front seven. You know, they came back with a real good passing attack, like you said, and a little bag of tricks themselves after Maine hit them with a couple of big plays. And they ran the ball a bit better than Maine did. They weren't great, but they had 96 yards rushing over the course of the game.
Well, the Black Bears continuing to get hit by the injury bug. The defense was already hit pretty hard with a lot of linebackers out. And then last week, as we mentioned, Derek Robertson went down. Tristan Keenan ran for 15 yards on his first carry, and then he left the game. The good news is that Tavian Banks was available, but I think the Black Bears wanted to take it easy on him because it was his first game all season.
Yeah, he had 4 rushes for 10 yards, 4 receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown. I would look to him to get quite a few more carries this week in the game. And he looked like he was in good health out there running around in the Richmond game. And I think he could really help Maine's offense moving forward.
We're talking with Bob Lucy, the game plan for Maine football versus LIU tomorrow afternoon. Well, the Bears, with a loss last week, dropped to 1-5. Long Island University, 1-4 on the season, but coming off their first win, beating a team that's usually one of the best in the Northeast Conference, Sacred Heart.
Yeah, they beat them 23-13. They had only 192 yards of total offense, but there was a driving rain, and they really didn't get much passing done. Only 36 yards passing for LIU and 156 yards rushing. My take on LIU, Rich, is they're building something around a good defense and a good running attack. They had a new coach, Ron Cooper, come in last year, and he has a defensive-minded approach, was not only a head coach at various places, but also a defensive coordinator. And when you look at some of the data on them, they've run the ball pretty well throughout the course of this season. Coming into this game with Maine, they're averaging 170 rushing yards per game and 5.1 yards per rush, only 106 yards passing per game, and only 3 passing touchdowns. But when you look at what they've done this year, Rich, they've already played 2 FBS teams. They opened their season with Ohio and lost 27-10. And then they had, in their third game of the season, Baylor on the road, and they lost that game 30-7. I went back and looked at some of that information in those games, and they held Ohio to 303 total yards, and they had 143 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown against Baylor. So they've been up against some good teams, including those 2 FBS teams, and I think they're going to come out and play real hard tomorrow against the Bears.
Well, offensively, it looks like they've got Luca Stenzani scheduled to be the starting quarterback. He's completed 61% of his throws, 204 yards, but has just 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. And I don't know if Chris Howell is hurt. He's also started a couple of games, 53% completion rate, but also has more touchdowns or more interceptions than touchdown passes.
Well, this is another one of these riddles, if you will, as to who's going to be the quarterback. Much as it was last week with Richmond, Luca Stenzani started the season and played at Ohio. He was the only quarterback in at Ohio. And then the next game, Rich, against Bryant, I think he got hurt because it looks like he's got sacked, and then Chris Howell came in. And since that second game, Stenzani has not played at all at that quarterback position. Chris Howell has played those last 3 games, and Ethan Greenwood also has played, but he looks like more of a runner than a thrower because he's only 2 of 7 for -1 yard passing this season. However, he's got 31 rushes for 158 yards, and he's averaging 5.1 yards per carry. I think we're going to see a couple of things tomorrow. We're going to see mobile running quarterback. Both Howell and Greenwood, if they're in, can run. And even Stenzani, if he's back from maybe an injury or something, he had 14 rushes for 68 yards in the first game and a half. So quarterbacks involved in the run game and wide receivers and tight ends involved in the run game. They've got a great tight end, Owen Glasgow, 6'4", 258 pounds. He was an FCS preseason All-America third team in 2023 and a first-team All-NEC player last season. And he's got 13 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown receiving this year and 10 rushes for 35 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he's also thrown a pass for a 6-yard TD. Kind of a jack-of-all-trades. And then they've got Devon Wells, their top receiver. He's got 13 receptions for 185 yards, but also 13 rushes for 156 yards. So I think we've got wide receivers running end arounds and jet sweeps likely, and we've also got quarterbacks involved in the run game. Their top rusher is Pat Bowen. He's got 236 yards rushing and one touchdown. He's averaging 6.4 yards per rush. So that, I think, is where they're going to hang their hat on that run game and try to play real good defense against Maine.
So, Maine, defensively, when you get a team like that that likes to do some different things with their wide receivers, with their tight end, has a mobile quarterback, that means first and foremost, defense needs to be disciplined out there.
Yeah, they need to really be disciplined, have attention to detail. They have to communicate effectively and obviously focus on their individual responsibilities, Rich. But I suspect they're going to try to make Maine defend that whole field on the perimeter with some of those wide receiver runs. And then, you know, just trying to, you know, be physical up front between the tackles with the run game up the middle. But I would look for quarterbacks running and wide receivers and tight ends running as well as the running backs tomorrow. You know, defensively, they've been pretty solid. You know, they're allowing 24.4 points per game. They are giving up 180 rushing yards per game and 4.2 yards per rush, 180.8 passing yards per game, and 360.8 total yards per game. Haven't forced a lot of turnovers, Rich. In five games, only six forced turnovers, four interceptions, two fumbles. They haven't done a bad job offensively on third down, averaging almost 40% conversions. Not a lot of sacks, only nine sacks over their five games, 27 tackles for a loss. But I think this is going to be an active, physical defense. That's probably going to be doing some blitzing and bringing some people off the corner.
Maine's offense may depend on whether or not Derek Robertson is able to go tomorrow. He did practice today, but to whoever it is out there, you would think Maine would try once again to establish that run, starting with Tavian Banks, and maybe we see a little bit more out of John Gay and Brian Santana Fees.
Yeah, I think that really needs to be the formula, you know, really trying to create offensive balance using your collective talent. And Maine has talented players in all of those positions. And I think the key is to try to be a little bit more balanced. They've done an outstanding job, the Black Bears, over the last two games, passing. I mean, they're averaging, over the last two games, 417.5 passing yards per game and 4.5 TD passes per game. But on the other end, over the last two games, Maine's averaged 49 rushing yards per game and 2 yards per rush. So just trying to get a little bit better balance there, I think, would be helpful because they need to limit the possessions of their opponents. They need to be better, I think, both sides of the ball on third down to keep the chains moving and to get off the field on third down. And then I think for Maine, you know, trying to attack that pocket on third and long situations if you can be effective on first and second down and try to increase the number of sacks. They've got seven sacks over the last six games, and I think that's another area where they really want to try to wreak some havoc in the pocket.
And of course, as we know historically in the last decade or so, when Maine wins, it's generally because they're successful running the ball.
Yeah, it's interesting because since 2011, Maine is 500. They've won 69 games and lost 69 games. In the 69 wins, Maine averaged 175 rushing yards per game. In the 69 losses, they've only averaged 99.7 rushing yards per game.
Well, that is a pretty clear statement right there with a lot of history behind it. We'll see what happens tomorrow afternoon. Now, Bob, this is a first-time meeting, I think, with LIU, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but it's not the first time Maine playing Northeast Conference teams. Maine is 9-1 all-time against teams that are currently in the Northeast Conference, and they've won nine straight games. By the way, they've also won six straight homecoming games, so I'm feeling optimistic about this one. I think Maine has, you know, the talent to go out and play very well. And this would be a nice beginning to try to get some good momentum going into that last half of the season and really end on a positive note.
Now, LIU, they are the Sharks. I don't recall Maine ever playing Sharks before.
I don't either, but I've done a little research about Sharks, Rich. I will unveil some of that research tomorrow as we move into the Keys and stuff like that. But, no, I don't think we've ever had a nickname such as the Sharks. This is a team that, by the way, did not start playing at the FCS level until 2019. And last year, Rich, they had a pretty good end of their season. They finished 4-3 in the Northeast Conference on the season. They won their last four games, all of them by 9 points or less, including a game with Villanova, where they lost 38-21. But I think they've been very competitive in the Northeast Conference, and there are some very good teams in that conference. As you mentioned, Sacred Heart, Duquesne has had some good seasons as well. Bryant, currently in that NEC, they'll be moving into the CAA next year.
Be interesting, too, to watch the scoreboard tomorrow because, as we've discussed both here and on the broadcast, the CAA looks to be absolutely wide open right now. Delaware might be the favorite, but any given week, you never know who's going to come up with a win.
Absolutely, Rich. And I would be looking at that Elon game at Villanova because Elon's 3-0 in the CAA right now. Albany going to New Hampshire. Albany's 2-0 right now. And New Hampshire, I believe, is 0-2 in the league right now. So those are big games in terms of, you know, the top tier of those CAA teams right now.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. It always is on Homecoming, the Black Bears and the Sharks of LIU. That is a 1 o'clock start. Should be a great crowd on hand to cheer on the Black Bears. And, Robert, I will see you early in the morning as we get ourselves set up and ready to broadcast, is it possible, our 299th Maine game.
Wow. I don't know where the time has gone since that first game in 1997 at Rhode Island.
And, you know, I haven't seen Clem LeBrie for a while. Did we leave him there by chance?
You know, I think he came home with us, but we haven't seen him a lot since then. It's been a wild ride. It's been an awful lot of fun. And, you know, look forward to continuing this journey.
Absolutely. All right, we'll see you in the morning, Bob. Sleep well. Put those stats under your pillow so you'll get them through osmosis.
Okay. Sounds good, Rich.
Thank you, Robert. Bob Lucy, color analyst for Black Bear Football for these past 27 years with me. Tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock start, Black Bear Reports are brought to you by ClearPoint Capital. Give Mike Toole a call at 307-7718. And by Creative Print Services, helping take your business to the next level with professional and innovative work. From small restaurants to major universities, they can help you excel. The experienced team at Creative Print Services works with you to provide full-service design, print, marketing, mailing, and billing for your business or organization. Full-color printing, business cards and forms, brochures, flyers, and more. Fast, accurate printing is their specialty. Creative Print Services on the Dowd Road, Bangor, a proud supporter of the Black Bears. Online at creative-ps.com or give them a call at 947-2250.